Amen. Amen. So if you turn with me to the book of Exodus, we're going to be in chapter 23. And as you turn there, excuse me. We're going to be in chapter 23, verse starting verse 27. But before we read, let me give you a little background about what we're going to look at this morning. We are at a point in Israel's history where God had delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. For 400 years they were there. Until the Canaanites' sin was full, God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the people of Israel. And he would bring him out of the land to a land of promise that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in that process, after God sets them free from the bondage of Egypt and sin, God will tell them where they're going to go, and he will give them very detailed instructions of what they are to do. He will say, the land is yours, but you will have to conquer it. It's already been given to you, but there will be battles to wage and things to overcome. You will worship me this way. You're going to set up a tabernacle. God was extremely detailed on everything that they were supposed to do. And, you know, it's kind of like us. You know, I see this as the people of Israel was set free from the world. Egypt is a picture of the world, from bondage, set free to a land of promise. So same as the Christian today. You have been set free from the world, from the grip of the enemy. And God is bringing you to a new beginning, a new land. And some people say, well, the promised land is a picture of heaven. Well, I have a hard time with that because I don't think in heaven we're going to be fighting battles and giants, okay? It's more like walking with Jesus, the Spirit-filled life. So with that background, with that, you know, backdrop to our text, let's read verse 27 of chapter 23 of Exodus. It says, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs on you or run. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from you. From before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Verse 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increase and you inherit the land. 31, I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, 32, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. So God is giving them the land. He's giving them instructions. And as he is getting them ready, he says, hey, the land is yours. But I'm not going to give it to you all at once. You need to grow in number and power in order to take more of the land. So I'm going to give it to you little by little. Now, when I read that, as I was getting ready and praying, that phrase, little by little, just jumped at me. And that's today's title, message, you know, it's little by little. Because even though it's something that I know conceptually, yeah, God works, and he's always at work, and sometimes he doesn't work at the speed I want him to work. Sometimes I want him to work faster, and I want to have victory over that land and take over that problem a lot sooner than his timeline. Here he says to his people, little by little. and he gives them the reasoning. Now, God has his timeline. He has his timing. He has his ways of doing things that are not my ways. I love to see projects come together. I do a lot of projects for work. And I always envision the finished product. I go like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to look like this, 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 that, and the other. And it's going to do that. But I like to get done right away. When there's a delay on a contract or material or process or software, I kind of get impatient. I go like, oh, I wanted this done yesterday. Because I like to see, you know, I think it's within us. We like to see things come together. Kind of like when you're building a Lego. You know, you're looking at the box, but you have 4,000 pieces. You got to pile them all. It's like, how is this all coming together? Little by little. That's how it comes together. So God's time and our timing are not necessarily the same. His ways are not our ways. His speed of doing things perhaps are not as fast as I want him to. But, you know, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And I have been able to witness that in my young walk with the Lord, that in God's timing, as I look back, things were beautiful in its time, his ordained time, not my time. And I have been actually able to see that if it had happened in my timeline, it would have not been good. Sin to our text. Giving you the land, but it's little by little. You need to grow, Raul. You need to grow and be equipped and prepared and molded and shaped into what's next. Because I am working in you. I'm preparing you for the next season. See, as a Christian, we don't just get saved and we just stay there. Okay? No, no. You were saved. We were saved for a purpose, for a reason. There is something else. God has written a book. He has ordained our days. He knows the end. We don't. But he saved you and me for a specific purpose, you know, that is just for you. He's given us gifts and things like that. We're going to get that in a minute. But it's all in his timeline, at his pace, his speed, his ways, his timing. It says, Psalm 18:30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. He's made everything beautiful in his time, and his way is perfect. I love that verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible because I know I can trust God to guide me in his ways because his way is perfect. May not be what I think perfect, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back and say, perfect. See, we don't necessarily, you know, see the entire picture. We just see that it's little by little. There will be battles in the land. There will be land to possess. Every time a child of God wants to walk in everything that God has ordained for them, you can expect that there will be battles. You will wrestle with things. It's common sense. Why? Because think about it. They were in the world, Egypt, 400 years, pagan, you know, idols and all that stuff. They were just suffering. And now they're being moved into everything that God wants for them is different than Egypt. It's contrary to the way of the world, the pagan idols and their gods. There's going to be a battle. There is a battle in our Christian walk. You get saved. It's awesome. It's the salvation is immediate. You know, today you'll be with me in paradise. You are positionally going to heaven, but while you are here, there will be battles. And sometimes we want the victory or those immediately. And the Lord says, it's little by little. You're growing. I'm working. I know what you're capable of taking in. Because where you are today is preparing you for tomorrow. Does that make sense? Where you're at today, at work, the job site, the office, home, whatever that is, there's a work taking place that is equipping you for what comes next. Because God takes us from glory to glory. I haven't read where God says, just get saved and sit there. Wait until you die. No, 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 no. It's like from glory to glory. There is something for his kids, his children, his bride, his church to do. And he's equipping us. Now, that is a concept that people will say, well, yeah, Raul, that makes sense. Good for you. But really, do I really just watch sheep like David did and fight lions and bears? Do I do the Moses thing where he spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years taking care of sheep in the desert? It's just sheep. God pulled me out of Egypt to, how does this work? See, I like the 40s. I call it the Moses 40s. There are three 40 stages in Moses' life. One's 40 years in the world, in Egypt, right? Top, you know, being the boss. And then God calls him out of there to the desert. For 40 years, he was taking care of sheep. Taking care of sheep. Just being faithful, taking care of sheep. But it was while he was taking care of sheep that God spoke to him from the bush. It was while taking care of those sheep in the desert that God was equipping him, preparing him to take care of God's sheep to lead them out of Egypt. See, there is a purpose for each season. You think of Paul. Paul had a brain before he was saved. I mean, he said, I was a Pharisee. I exceeded all my teachers. I was, according to the law, blameless. Paul had it all going on intellectually. God saved him, humbled him to the core, prepared him. He says he is a chosen vessel of mine, and I must show him how much he must suffer, right? But then Paul restored in Jesus. What did he do? God used him to reach, well, probably the greatest missionary in world's history, the Gentiles, trips. But he was equipped before for what God had planned for him. Same with David. Again, taking care of sheep. Well, but fighting lions and bears would equip David to fight Goliath. See, it was familiar territory for him. But he was taking care of sheep. We sometimes say, well, how small is this just to be doing this little thing? Zechariah 4:10. Who has despised the day of small? We think it's less. It's not as important. I want to be up there. I want to be the guy. I want to be slaying the giants. I want to be. But it all took place in the hills protecting sheep. Now I'm gonna tell you, I never talk about myself because I don't like to, but I'm gonna tell you. You know, you say it's a concept, right? Well, yeah, good. David, Paul, Moses. Yep, we know the story is great. I'll tell you my story quickly. If you have an hour or two, I'll tell you. I'm kidding. I'll tell you my story of something like this. See, I got saved about 20 years old. And I came to that point, I was like, okay, what do I do now? I'm saved, but my life has to be different than before. And I remember when I was 8 years old or maybe younger, my grandma took me to this church. And I had no clue what the guy said. It's a big church. And she took me to the front after service, and the pastor's there, older, godly man. And she told the pastor, pray for my grandson. And I didn't want him to pray for me. I was a little guy. I was scared. Well, he prayed for me. He put his hand on me. Like, not like grab my head, but he just put it there. And I remember I was like wanting to get away from him. But it was like my head was stuck to his. Really, true story. I remember I'm like, why can't I get away? And he's praying for me. I don't remember why he prayed. I don't remember what he said. But I know I started crying. And I'm like, that was weird. That's a little guy. Okay. Cool. It's over. I became a sinner. And walked in the world and did all that. Well, about 20 years old, God gets a hold of my life there in Anaheim, California. And I get saved. And I'm not one to show much emotion. I mean, I'm pretty emotional, but I don't cry a lot. I think that's a guy thing. We don't like to cry a lot. It's okay to cry if you're a guy, okay? It's totally fine. But I'm not one to be like, oh, how pretty, the flowers. You know, I'm not that guy. I'm more like, it has to be really meaningful. I'm kidding. Beautiful flowers. Or the sun. But I got saved. And I tell you, when I got saved that day, I was kneeling in that church, and that guy was praying, and I was like completely overwhelmed. I'm like, okay, there's no doubt in my life, in my mind, that I'm saved. I am saved. Because I don't cry, and I'm like, wow, what now? where does this go? Well, God told me, I'm going to make you fisher of men. I'm like, me? What? Okay. I get saved. And I get this job at this Shoreline Christian School as a janitor in my early 20s. Bright future for me. I learned a lot. And I was going to Big Calvary in Costa Mesa. Pastor Chuck was there in the 2000s, just glorious. And I remember my job was from 3 in the afternoon to 11:30 p.m. So I could never go to church at night. And Calvary has a church, or had a church, every service of the week. It's really cool. And I would listen to my headphones with my vacuum and my gloves. And I would get my headphones caught on the vacuum and poof, snap, I miss a point. I'm like, ah. Oh. So after a year, I said, I'm quitting my job. I need to be at church. I need to grow. Then my boss is like, where are you going? I don't know. But I need to be at church. He's like, good for you. So I quit. And within a week of me quitting, a guy comes up to me and says, hey, I heard you quit. Yeah, sure. You want to work? It's day work. I'm an electrician. I'm like, I don't know anything about electricity. Oh, I'll teach you. He hired me right before I finished. I never had a day without work. But I went to church. Oh, you better go to church. If you quit your job because you tell Jesus I'm going to work, you better go to church. Oh, I was there. And I learned, and I was just waiting. I met my wife, and, you know, I learned a lot of valuable lessons. Then we get married, and we had this dispute. And she's going to be here for a second service, so she's going to be fine me saying this. We had this dispute. I'm like, we got to go to a place that teaches the Word of God.
Yeah.
She said, but it's got to be small. I'm like, oh. Calvary, no, it's too big. We had this contention. And then we said, hey, Joey Varan just opened a church in Fountain Valley at a place called Shoreline Christian Schools. We should go check it out. See, this is familiar territory for me. I've been there about 8 years before. We walk in, get involved. Time, they noticed us, and we start helping with the youth. Became a deacon, an intern pastor. I got ordained. And then, see, remember, I used to be the janitor of the church, that same place. On Friday nights, it was my job to vacuum the stage for Sunday. So I remember one Friday, I was vacuuming, and there was nobody in the church, just the pulpit, kind of like this. And I was vacuuming. It was kind of like a movie. You know, I walk by the pulpit, I go like, well, it was old glass, too. It was old glass. I'm like, ooh, so I put my hands on the pulpit. It was empty. It's so weird. It's so embarrassing to tell the story. And I kept like going like this and pointing to things. I did. True story. And then I'm like, I hope nobody's watching that. I just walked away and kept vacuuming, right? Well, I'm back, right, at the same place. It's funny because I come and we're having a church activity and my old boss sees me, the boss of the church, and gives me a hug and everything. All my friends are like, who are you? You know the big boss? I'm like, yeah, I mean, totally. We're friends. Of course, I worked here. I know every room. There's the mops are there. The lights are there. I knew everything. And then my pastor, Joey, after I've been teaching the youth for a while, says, I want you to teach for me on a Tuesday night service. I said, oh, that's crazy. And I remember vividly when I walked up on the same carpet. They still have the same carpet. I'm like, wow, I was here 8 years ago pretending to be preaching from this pulpit. What did I know? How did this happen? Here's what I know. God knew. I wasn't ready at 20 to teach. But at 34, I was. See? And I shared, I told the people in the congregation, I'm like, today is a weird day. I did this. I pretended to be preaching here years ago with my vacuum. Wow, this is crazy. I did. I have my vacuum right there. God was working. And then I started teaching a little more. And then I taught every time he was out of town on the main service, which was nerve-wracking. I learned it. I got ordained there. I have photos of that. Preparing, equipping for what I didn't know at the time was next. But then the Lord says, you're moving to Texas. I'm like, why? The beach. We got the beach. Sunny. We're moving to Texas. I didn't have a clue. But here's what I can tell you. God was preparing me long before. I was with my good friend. Where are you? Broderick. Right there at my house. He's now the youth pastor that I, the youth group I had. It's really cool. And I was like, isn't that crazy how the Lord just was preparing things when I had no clue? All that long story about myself to tell you this. Wherever you are today, God is preparing you for what's next. But you have to get on the boat. You have to get with the program. You have to move forward. Yes, it's little by little, small things. It's just the vacuum. You don't know. I didn't know. But now when you put the whole picture together, my grandma, she brought me to the front. Little does she know. It's all God's grace and God's glory. It has nothing to do with us. But little by little. I wonder if when I was completely gone in the world in my teen years, if she kind of just looked and wondered, when is something going to happen? I wonder. Well, she can see it now, full circle. God is preparing us for the next thing. To the people of Israel, he says, you need to grow in number, or the beasts of the field overtake you. I'm giving you the land. It's yours. But it's little by little. It's my timing. Don't despise the day of small things. Spiritual growth does not come on a microwavable bag. Endurance, perseverance, and prayer do not just show up out of nowhere. What if every time you pray for a problem, the answer came immediately? In that second, would you develop that fervent prayer time? No, it'll be like microwave. Just put it in. 3 minutes, it's ready. Spiritual maturity is not microwavable. It's not an Instapot. You guys know about the new thing, Instapots? Everybody's going crazy. It's basically a microwave inside of a crock pot. It's crazy. Man, my wife loves that thing. You can roast whatever in 20 minutes. It's soft, tasty. Everybody's buying them like crazy. Why? Because it saves time, because it's now it's instant gratification. Not so with the Lord. He's developing us character, shaping us. And I see it. I see people that are older than me walking with the Lord much longer than I have. It's only been 18 years for me. And I see the 40s and the 50s. I'm like, oh, man, I want to be like that when I'm old. I want that depth. I want that faith. I want that character and that conviction. I want that. But it's happening now. We're being equipped now. It is not a TV dinner that you just pop right in and you get going. You think of Amazon Prime, you know, same day delivery. And everybody's like, same day delivery if you order the next 10 minutes. Yes, order. And then, and now they even have, I don't know if I'm kind of weird like this, but now they even have the thing where you can go online and see where the driver is. I was waiting for this thing I bought, and it's like two more stops. And I could see the thing moving, the GPS. And I, when it was like my house, I opened the blinds and I looked, and sure enough, the guy pulls out. I'm like, oh, wow, yes, now Amazon. See, we want that now, but not so in our walk with Jesus, guys. It's little, it's a process, it's little by little. Why some people say, God is so mean. What does he have to do? It's so slow. I want things now. Because you and I, we cannot handle that which we have not been prepared for. We are in the machine shop. We're in the assembly line. The bolts and the screws and the plates are all being put together. But we don't like the heat. We don't like the hammering. We don't like the screws. And we don't like the sanding of the edges. It is preparing us for what is next. Think about that. My son, my 7-year-old son, as much as he would like to, he cannot drive my car. His legs are not long enough. He can't reach the pedals. He can see. and I'm not going to let him. That's just another one. When he's older and he grows physically and maturely, he will be taught how to drive. The car, chances are, will be his. He has to pay me for it, of course. No freebies. But he cannot drive it yet. He needs to grow. To the people of Israel, it's your land. I've given it to you. But it's little by little. I want to equip you, prepare you, so you can take what I have for you. So you can move in everything that I have for you. Now, I've learned that as Christians, God says, the land is yours. The spirit-filled life is yours. You walk with me. And there'll be battles. And there's an enemy that is after you. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you and wipe you out. But not only am I telling you, go, little by little, but I'm giving you everything that you need for the journey. Think about this. 2 Peter 1, 3, 4 says, according to his divine power, he has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have everything that we need. It's been given to us. Ephesians 6, the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the feet, the boots of the gospel. Those are all tools that we have been given, and they're at our disposal for the battles that we face, for the journey that we're in. But I have a choice. We all have a choice. We can take those tools and use them. Oh, how about the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter? We can take those tools and tap into those resources that have been given to us and walk this journey, or we can just blow them to the side and fake it till you make it. Now, it does not work that way. But everything that you and I need has been given to us for this journey. I love the fact that God says the land is yours. There will be battles. It's going to be little by little. See, he gives them the full disclosure of what it's going to be like. But then he gives them the warning. Did you catch that warning at the end there of verse 32? It says, you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. God has given them a warning. Wipe them out. Don't leave any room for the enemy. In our journey, in our walk with Jesus, we cannot afford to give an inch to the enemy. Because as the Lord works in us and through us little by little, there's an enemy that also inches into our lives little by little. I have been walking with the Lord 18 years, and unfortunately, sadly to say, there's just way too many stories of people that walked and then they drop off because they didn't deal with things, because they compromised in some areas. Things don't just happen. I heard a very godly lady tell me once after a guy fell hard in his walk. He's like, that didn't just happen. That had been brewing for a long time. That just got exposed. We cannot afford to give an inch, a centimeter, a millimeter, a drop to the enemy in our journey. Because they'll become a snare to you. They will hurt you. They will come back. I just heard yesterday, crazy story. My friend and I were looking at some houses. They're kind of just thinking about things. And the lady that was showing them this house said, oh, this house is ready. It was purchased. It was ready to go, but it busted. And I thought, what does it mean, busted? I said, well, the person that was going to buy it had a judgment against him. He's not able to buy it. I'm like, oh, that's sad. He picked everything. He was ready. But he hadn't deal with something from the past. And it just got exposed. They will be a snare to you.
they will hurt you. I hate hearing those stories. And I pray in humility, Lord, please don't. I want to walk with you. I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be another one. Bites the dust. That was kind of like a song, huh? I don't. Whatever happens, Lord. It might be like a little kid. No, please don't. No, I mean it. It's like, no. I've seen many strong fall. God is like, I've given you everything that you need. Just cling to me and deal with it. Just deal with it. Handle it. You have me. You have what you need. Would you turn with me to Numbers 33? And we're almost done. Kinda. Numbers 33:55. It says, verse 55 of Numbers 33. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants. They'll irritate in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. This is a warning. If you don't deal with them, they're going to be a thorn in your side. Undealt sin, tendencies, habits, they're a thorn. They'll hurt you. They'll really just great damage. I've seen it, and it's sad. But the Lord says, don't let it remain. Walk into the land that I'm giving you, little by little. Ride with me. I will drive out the enemy from the land. You catch the first verses, I will send my fear before you. You're fighting from a place of victory, Israel. The land is yours. As a Christian, you are fighting from a place of victory in your walk. We just sang Jesus Christ, our living hope, currently. He already defeated the grave. Sin has been dealt with. Now, some may say, yes, Raul, got it. Walk with Jesus. But, you know, I'm just who I am. This is what I've always done. I'm set on my ways. Well, Jesus didn't save us to leave us the way we were. Because if he was to save us to leave us the way we were, why save us? Does that make sense? I mean, in my mind, that kind of makes sense very simply. Like, why? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things, they're out the door. So I'm set on my ways. This is what I've always done. This is what I do. That's just their thing. That's just his thing. That's her thing. That's just their thing. Just that's where they draw, you know. Well, there's a land for you. There's a plan for you. There is blessing. There's the Spirit-filled life where God saved you for a specific purpose. And you can miss all that out and blow it if you're set in your ways. If you say, I'm not changing. This is who I am. God, you're good enough to take me to heaven. And I'm cool with that. But not so cool in getting into my grill and telling me to change things. Doesn't work that way. It's all or none. Think about it. If you don't deal, if you let those things remain, they'll be a snare to you. And I say that in a lot of love and with a very tender heart. But it's reality. Some stuff's just got to go. Because you know the story. They did not drive all the enemy. They let some land unconquered. Joshua says there's still a lot of land to be conquered. The sin crept in. They found themselves worshiping idols too. But God warned them beforehand. God told them, hey, don't do this. And I'm learning that as a dad. Like I tell my kids, don't do that because this is going to happen. And they do it. And it happens. So they fall, they crack their heads, or they get in trouble. And I find myself saying, I told you so. It's like, oh man, I sound like an old man now saying, I told you so. But God knows. He's telling his people, I told you so. Now still, God's love is beyond our mistakes, our worst days, whether we've blown it up until today. His love still remains. There's still time, as long as there's breath in your lungs, to get going with the Lord for everything that he has for you. There's no, now when you're dead, okay? It's just, that's it. It's over. But as we walk and move and walk with him and conquer everything that, you know, he has given us. I was talking to my friend in the car and we're talking about this and he's like, yeah, it's like we're being prepared. And ultimately, we're being prepared for heaven. See, life on earth, walking with Jesus, is preparing us for life in heaven, living with Jesus. It's going to be like a transition. It's like, we don't get stuck in the valley of shadow of death. We go right through it. And it's Jesus. It's like, yeah, yeah, whew, we're here. Like, it's heaven, ultimately. It's heaven. I've been thinking about this whole week. I'm like, it's heaven. All the journey, the fight, the whirlwind, reaching out, it's for heaven. It's for heaven. Like when you see people get saved, and the Lord somehow uses us, broken vessels. It's like they go to heaven, and we're going to see them in heaven. It's heaven. It's like, it's just a short season here compared to trillions and billions and trillions of eternity and years. It's just this. It's tiny. But it's heaven. We're being prepared. This is the machine shop, the warehouse, the assembly line, earth, for heaven. So as you get more acquainted with your Savior and you walk with him and you know him, you pray for him, it's a natural transition. It's like, yeah, let's go. We're in heaven. Yeah, hey, Lord, we've been talking for 20 years. I never saw your face. There you are. I mean, really, it's heaven. And I always wonder in my mind. I'm like a little kid. I go like, I wonder if I can watch the tapes when I prayed, when I taught, and what happened in the spiritual, when I dropped the ball, you know, when I went on that mission trip or helped out. And I share with those kids and watch those junior hires look at me like they hate me. But I still love them, you know. They don't, not here. They all love me, all of them. They give me hugs when they see me. No. But it's like, I wonder if I'm going to be able to watch the tape. And it's like, wow. In the spiritual, look what was happening, Raul. All that. Look. It was preparing you. It was happening in the eternal, way beyond you. You didn't know what was happening. I was preparing you. Yes, I used it. Wow. I mean, think about it. It's like, yes. I get pumped just by thinking about that. Like, heaven. Whenever that is for me, it's heaven. Heaven is where Jesus is, right? And Jesus is heaven. So we're in heaven with Jesus. I mean, we're all doing everything by faith. Not seeing whom you love, not seeing, but one day we'll see him as he is. It's like, oh, heaven. I don't know why I went on the heaven tangent, but it's about heaven, okay? Seriously. We're being prepared for heaven. So I want to leave you with this. Are you God's child? Do you know? Where are you at? Is there much land to be conquered? Are the tools,
The armor of God doesn't need to come off the shed, polished. Put them on and go for it. I don't know. But I want to encourage all of us as before we go. We're almost done, I promise. Make it your aim, your goal, to become everything that God has ordained for you to become. Don't get cheated. Don't get cheated. Fall short. Not on your own strength. It's as simple as, Lord, everything that you have for me, let's go. Well, that may mean I have to do this, that, and the other. Let the Lord show you that. But simply pray, Lord, whatever you have laid out for me, whatever that looks like, I don't want to miss out. Because it's heaven. It's heaven. I know a guy that missed out. He was 57 years old, my grandpa. He died a very early death. And I remember that guy, he got saved right before he died. So young. And he was wanting to hold on to time and try to make things right, but he had a very short season. He was, and I'm like, we don't want that, right? I mean, yeah, he's in heaven. Praise the Lord, great. But we, if our time comes, whenever it comes, we want to be like, we went for it. We did it. I'm good. Like when I fly and everything and I travel, I'm like, I'm good. My wife knows I love her. My kids know I love them. Pray for them. I've been praying for them. I taught them. Hey, we're good. We don't want to miss out and find ourselves like, oh, man, I blew it. Starts now. Be encouraged. But are you his child? Are you, or have you allowed the enemy to be a snare? And is it a thorn in your side? It's hurting your relationships and people and walk, and it's kind of like you're all like a beat up car, and it's like going sideways. You can't even go walk the straight line. God gives new beginnings. He starts afresh. There's still land to be conquered. There's still things that God has planned for each of us to do. Works that he ordained before the foundation of the earth that we should walk in them. It's just a choice. As I tell the youth, so you guys listen to me and Kendall and Dan time and time and time again. And you hear the word and you nod your heads. And yes, I know. But unless you do something with what you know, it's pointless. And it comes to a choice. It's a choice we make. Lord, take it over. Now, I'm going to do this in my strength. No. But you just died. Doesn't work. In your strength, by your spirit, by your grace, because without him, we can't do nothing, John 15. So I pray that whether it is that you need to get going, restart the engine, and start going, or you just flat out need a new beginning in life because you need Jesus, I pray that you come to him. And I pray that as we leave this place today, we make it our aim to become everything that God has ordained for us by his power. For his glory. We only work in his power, not ours. When we work in our power, we end up like the Israelites, worshiping idols. When we work in his power, his way, we're fighting from victory. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this, your word. Because we know you're working in us little by little. We know you're working in people we're praying for, little by little. We know your plans for us are good. And you've ordained those days, and times, and seasons. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room will know that you are ready to get going with us. I pray that all of us in this room, if there's anyone here that does not know you, that they will find hope in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that if there is enemies that need to go, tendencies, sin, stuff, it's got to go, that they will go in Jesus' name, that we will deal with them. And as our eyes are closing, heads are bowed, if you're here this morning and you need a new beginning,
You need Jesus. You're wasting enough time. And you need to be saved. That's you. I like to pray for you. You don't have to come up here. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. If that's anybody in this room, could you please raise your hand? I really want to pray for you. God will just start a new work in you. Amen. Amen. Lord, you see this hand. You know. I pray that you would touch and save. And for you that raised that hand, would you repeat after me? Church, would you help me? Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I pray from this day forward that you will give me a new beginning, a new life, that I will become everything that you have ordained for me to be. For your glory. I believe in my heart that you rose from the grave. And because you live, I will live also. I pray you save me. In Jesus' name. Amen.